How many know that our life is a series, a never-ending series of making choices? I mean, it's like daily before us, we have to make choices. And we're all called upon to make decisions. And I think it's very important that we learn to hear from God. Bill Hybels wrote a book a few years ago called God Whispers, or Whispers from God. And he talked about the subject of how, you know, God, when he speaks, sometimes it's like a whisper. And there's so much going on in our life that it's so easy to miss God speaking. I had someone a while back came up to me and they said, "Pastor Keith, I know you mentioned that, you know, God spoke to you about something." And he said, "I can honestly say that I have never heard God speak to me." And I said, that's sad. I can't imagine. I said, "I know God has spoken to you, but you must not have heard, because God does speak to his children." Last week, I left off with the verse in John 10, verse 27, where it said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So the problem is not on God's part with speaking. The problem is on our part of hearing. Amen? We're living in an age where we have some noise going on at all times. There's noise happening. There's, you know, the TV. There's our iPods and our iPads and something making noise just about all the time. And sometimes it's just hard to tune out everything else and just hear God. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, "Is it really hard preparing for a sermon?" And I'm like, "You know what the hardest part for me of getting my sermon for Sunday?" And they're like, "What?" I said, it's hearing God for what I'm to speak about, and the rest comes really easy. I have to tune everything out and say, "God, what is it you are saying to your people for this week?" And like I say, if we're his sheep, we listen for his voice, and hopefully we follow what he says. Now turn with me to another great Old Testament story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want to set it up a little bit before I read the story. As we discuss the subject today of hearing from God, I want to share with you one of my favorite stories that I learned in Sunday school. It's the story of Samuel, who would later become one of Israel's great prophets. And his mother Hannah was barren, and she longed for a child. It's a great story. If you haven't read it, read the book of 1 Samuel when you get home. And she makes God a promise. She said, "God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life to serve you." Now, that's a pretty big promise, isn't it? And as you might guess, God gave Hannah a child, and she fulfilled her promise, and she brought the child, after she had weaned him, to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and she gave the child to Eli, the high priest. Now, I love children, but don't anybody get any ideas from this story and drop your kids off at the office for me and Kathy to raise them. Right? Now, names are always very important, and you know that I love to look into the Hebrew and see what the names mean and everything. And I studied Hebrew in the synagogue here years ago with the Jewish people, and it was an amazing time period for me. And the word Samuel, I knew immediately when I started this story. Well, I know what Samuel means. It comes from two Hebrew words, Shmai. And so Shamu is the first part here, coming from the root word Shmai, which is the Hebrew word for hear. Remember, the Hebrews, every day of their life, the Jews will pray, "Shmai Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad," which means, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So it comes from this word hear, and then the second word is the word El, E-L, at the end of his name. And that is God's name. That's God. It's not the Yod Heh Vav Heh, but it comes from God's creative name, Elohim. The beginning of the Bible is Barashit Bahara Elohim. At the first created God, the heavens and the earth. And it's interesting because Elohim is God's name that he uses when he's creating. See, God has different names that we read in the Bible. But and you know what's interesting is the Women's Lib movement a while back, they came out with a new Bible. I think it was the Reader's Digest. They put out a Bible that does not have any gender in it. So it refers to God in both the masculine and female. They removed gender from the Bible. Now that's really crazy, because let me tell you this. When I studied Hebrew, we learned that chim Hebrew is like Spanish. You know how Spanish you have niño and niña? And the way you say it lets you know if you're talking to a girl or a guy. And so different words, you know, it will have their gender in the Spanish. Hebrew is the same way. And chim is masculine plural. Isn't that interesting? It's God, when he was creating, he said, let us make man in our own image. And he's referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here in this name, Samuel, we have God's creative name in it, and we have hearing. So his name literally means God hears. Isn't that beautiful? God hears. Now let's read the story, 1 Samuel chapter 3, begin with verse 8. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. I think that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Words from the Lord were rare in those days. You see, it was the fact that God did not have that many people that were tuned in to him. They were worshiping a lot of pagan gods. They were busy about doing their own thing, and God didn't show up because they weren't hungry for him. And it happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that the Lord called Samuel and he said, here am I. Get a picture. I don't know how old Samuel is. He's a young boy. He's serving Eli and helping him in the temple there. And all of a sudden, it's nighttime and Samuel's laying down and he hears Samuel. And he thinks Eli's calling him, the priest. And he says, here I am. And then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Isn't that neat that God can speak to people that are not even yet, he hasn't even yet revealed himself to? You getting this? And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. So the Lord called Samuel for a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Wow. Took three times. Finally, they discerned that it was the Lord calling. What a story. You see, God took Hannah's vow seriously. When she said, God, you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And now God came to collect on that promise. Have you ever heard God call your name? I remember as a young boy, very early age, 12, 13 years old, God called me into the ministry. And I can remember so distinctly that call when he spoke to me. Came through a word of prophecy from someone that he had set me apart from my mother's womb, that he had a call upon my life. For a long time, I pushed aside the call to minister God's word and, you know, I began to pursue my career in music, and that was looking like that was the way it should go, you know. And things were, I had a recording contract when I was 17 years old. I was traveling around the country and around the world, and things looked like that's the way to be. And God was putting a call on my life. I had been called to preach His Word. Talent, music was my gift, but pastoring was my call. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think I told you the story just the other day, but there was a pastor friend that called me from Mississippi, and he says, man, I want you to come to my church and preach a revival. I said, man, I don't even know for sure that I'm a preacher. I'm a singer. He says, I don't know, but whatever you do, it affected my son when we heard your concert the other day, so come and spend a week with us and just do what you do. Man, I went there and prayed, and God would give me a word, and I would just get up and minister it. 18 years old, man. Can you imagine that? Coming here for service tonight and an 18-year-old kid's up here preaching? Huh? No, it wasn't 50 years ago. I'm still in my 50s, brother. For another month, I'm still in my 50s. I will claim it. Now, God could have spoken to Eli, couldn't he? Why did God bypass the priests and went all the way to Samuel? Isn't that amazing when you think about it? See, some people think you got to have a reverend in front of your name, or you got to have some kind of doctorate in front of your name. Listen, God can speak to you no matter who you are, where you are. God is desiring to speak to His people. We just have to learn to hear Him. Now, there's three main ways that God speaks, and I want you to listen to this and get it in your spirit. Three main voices where we'll hear the voice of God. There's three voices that we hear, and then I'm going to talk into how we can hear the voice of God. First voice we hear is we should hear the voice of God, because we're His sheep, and He is our shepherd, and so we should hear the voice of God. Now, this is the voice that we struggle with sometimes of hearing, and it's because God doesn't speak real dramatic sometimes. Sometimes it's not real emotional. Sometimes it's just real quiet. And God speaks to us, and it's real easy to miss if you're not careful. Remember the story of in 1 Kings chapter 19 of Elijah the prophet? God tells him, go up, stand on this mountain. And he goes and stands on the mountain. God says, I'm going to pass by you. And it says, and after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, I think so many times we're looking for that earthquake experience. We're looking for that fire. We're looking for that thunderous voice of God, when the whole time God is speaking quietly in your spirit. And if you're so busy looking for the rest, you'll miss Him. Don't just look for God in the sensational. First voice that God that speaks to us here is God. And I do believe He's not overly chattery, but at the same time, I do believe He's speaking to us. And I believe He wants to be involved in our daily life. John chapter 8 and verse 47 says, he who is of God hears the words of God. How many want to claim that? You hear the words of God. Now, I firmly believe, now you may think I'm crazy, but I believe right down, you need to be praying on a daily basis and listening. And sometimes we think prayer is just talking to God, but half of prayer should be listening. Amen. Amen. I think God is concerned about the car you buy. I think He's concerned about the when you're going to buy a new dishwasher. I think He's concerned about every aspect of our life. And if we will put it before Him, God will be involved and He'll bless your life. Right. Amen. I went in to buy, I was buying some clothes the other day, I don't remember what it was, and I put it up on the counter and it was on sale. I thought, wow, what a great price. And all of a sudden the lady's like, wow, it's marked down again on the computer, it's half that price. And I'm like, whoa, that was God. Kathy said it was the devil, but I said it was God. The second voice we hear is the voice of the devil. How many have ever heard the voice of the devil? I can remember as a little boy, my first awareness of God, where I came to believe there was a God. I can remember walking down my sidewalk in the front of our house on Hillcrest Avenue, and I remember walking down the sidewalk, and this is the thought that went through my mind. I know there's a God because I know there's a devil. And I have felt that devil. And if there's a devil, there has to be a God. That was my first recollection of God. I remember as a little boy. I think most of us have heard the voice of the devil. Even people who claimed have not heard the voice of God would probably acknowledge they've heard the voice of the devil. Sometimes they think they live with him, but make no mistake about it. The devil is out to hurt you and destroy your life. John 10:10 tells us he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know what? If you're not careful, Satan will come as the angel of light. And he might even use a portion of Scripture. And many times when he speaks to us, you might even think that's God. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So you have to sort it out. If it brings confusion, it's of the devil. You getting this? Satan is the author of confusion, not God. And so one way we know when God speaks, we have peace. Amen? So if the voice you're hearing or a thought coming to your mind takes away your peace, it's probably Satan and not God. Now here's the good news. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, because you have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." See, the greater one lives inside of us. And you know how when we feel such peace when God speaks to us? Because first of all, if you're a child of God, His Holy Spirit is residing inside of you.
That's right.
So when the Father's speaking to you, He comes through the Holy Spirit and there is a peace that you just know it's God. Amen? Then there's that third voice, which is our own voice. Sometimes we confuse that with the voice of God too. I've had people come up to me before and say, "God told me this." And I said, "You know what? He has my address. Why would He bother getting it second-handed?" I'll get to that later. The mind has an inner voice that speaks to you. You know, you have a voice that looks just like you when you look in the mirror, and it talks, and it speaks to you too. For example, let me give you an example. It's 11:45, Monday afternoon. My stomach's growling. Thinks my throat's been cut. I'm hungry. And I hear His voice that says, "Go to Taco Bell." Now, I know some of you think that's the voice of the devil. But our inner voice talks to us constantly. It says, "You need a hamburger." That's probably the devil, but "You need some juice." You drive by a car lot and you go, "Ooh, I'd look good in that red Buick." You getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's some things that, man, I just don't have to pray about. I don't have to pray about whether or not to go in and eat this burger or that burger. One of the biggest problems we have is when we confuse our own inner voice with the voice of God. See, God's voice would never tell you to go buy some car you couldn't afford that was going to put you in bondage. Are you getting what I'm saying? But today we're focusing on that first voice, and that is hearing the voice of God. And it's so vital for you and I to train ourselves to hear that still small voice, because God does whisper, and it's so often drowned out. Now, how does God speak to me? You say, "Pastor Keith, how do I hear the voice of God?" I think there's five basic ways that God speaks. Let me give them to you real quickly. First of all, I believe God speaks through His Word, and that is the most common. You see what I'm saying? He gave you a letter called the Bible. And we're supposed to, but you really don't do any good if you don't open it. It's like for years, I think for at least 5 years, I carried around on my keychain, where's my keys? I carried around on my keychain my key fob, and it had the Planet Fitness, I'm missing my key. Oh, here they are. Now it's got two of them, but it had the little Planet Fitness swipey thing on it. And I never went once for probably 5 years. Paid the dues every month. Something about that made me feel thinner. Just having it in my pocket. I belong to the health club. Now this past year when I decided I was going to go back and start trying to get things in order, I was so scared to swipe this, I was afraid alarms and sirens were going to go off and they would say, "You're busted." You think that's bad? My daughter Michelle started going with me, so she joined, and we were going to work out together. And so we're there one day, and she's getting a member. She said, "Frankie said he thinks he's a member too, Dad. He don't know for sure." And I said, "Look up my son-in-law, Frankie Acosta." And they looked up and said, "Yeah, he's a member." She said, "When was he last here?" I think it was 4 years ago or something like that. I said, "Uh-huh, I don't feel so bad now." The Word won't do you any good if you don't use it. You got to open it up. If you want to hear God, you can hear from Him right now by opening the pages of His Word. And you'll be surprised how sometimes God can give you a specific word right through reading Scripture.
That's right.
Amen? I mean, I'm not suggesting play Rush Bible roulette where you just open it up and point and there it is. Rhonda Guns did that, you know, when her sister said, I got a word of revival. Remember that? And she said, God told me I'm going to be blessed like Jacob. You know, and Rhonda went and she said, I didn't get no word. And said she went home that night and she said, God, I'm just going to open up the Bible and point. And she did. And she pointed and it said, Jacob, I love Esau, I hated. She said, that couldn't have been from God. He was telling me he loved my sister, but he hated me. But I've had times when I open up the Word and it is so specific. And I know God is speaking to me. See, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. You see, if you try to live your life without opening the pages of God's word and reading it, it's like walking into a pitch dark room with no light on and you're stumbling and falling into everything. But as a child of God, when we get into the word on a daily basis, then what happens is it's like you're walking around with lamps on your feet. You see where you're going. Amen? Come on. Now, a lot of times people say to me, Pastor Keith, I just can't get into reading the Bible. I mean, I open it up and it's like, and he begat and she begat and they begat and they all begat. I give you permission to skip the begats. But it's so important you get into the Word on a daily basis. Get a one-year Bible reading plan where you read through the whole Bible in 1 year, and you'll be amazed at what you learn. And what I do is I personally read a few of the Psalms every day too. I might be reading in 1 Samuel, but then I'm reading a few of the Psalms, and then I always read the proverb of the day. For example, I haven't done it yet today, but what is today? Is today the 11th? 14th? I missed 3 days somewhere. Oh, the weekend. Today is the 14th. So today, read Proverbs 14. And you'd be amazed at how many times when you read that particular proverb, it's right for that day for what you're going through. Amen? Secondly, that still small voice is another way God speaks. And I believe that is called peace. When God speaks in that still small voice and you go, wait, that's God. I think that's God talking to me. You getting what I'm saying? Just listen carefully. When you really want to hear God, He will speak to you. And you'll know in your knower. I think everybody has a knower. You know what I mean? You got that knower down here. That's just where you know that you know that you know. And that's called peace. Sometimes you wonder when you hear that voice, you're like, is that God or is that the devil? But when you just get that still small voice, it just speaks in your heart. You know what I'm talking about. You know it's God. You know it's the Lord. Third way that God speaks is through open and closed doors. You getting this? How many of you have ever had a door that all of a sudden God just opened the door for you and you just knew that was God? Or He slammed a door shut and all of a sudden you knew God had slammed that door shut. Amen. But you know what the problem we have sometimes is sometimes if God shuts a door, we stop banging on the door. We start banging on it saying, let me in, let me in. When God shuts a door, you need to trust Him. Whatever's behind that door is not good for you. And God will open another door. This is very important when you're looking for jobs. If anybody's job hunting or whatever, God can open and close doors for you. Pastor Dan's not here, but I remember when Pastor Dan was in a career change and I remember those one time he called me up and he just says, Keith, I'm God's just kind of put, I think God's told me this. He said, I'm supposed to send my resume out to everybody I know. And he says, would you just read over it and see if there's anything, you think I need to change? And so he brought it by and I read it and I made some changes and put on there and added a few PhDs and stuff. And no, just kidding. And then I was even wondering, is he going to be upset that I'm making these changes? But he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. He changed it and he sent it out. And it was just a few days later that resume landed with Dean and Laura and Darren and the Jones family. And they called Dan and brought him to be a part of Jones Natural Chews there. And he's been there now for several years and been a blessing to them. And they've been a blessing to him. But sometimes it's just looking for God to open and close the door. How many have ever had a door that you really thought was God, all of a sudden it closed, only for a better door to open later? You know what I'm talking about? So true. So true. You may have several doors that open, and then when that happens, you've got to do some praying and sometimes even seek godly counsel and say, I can do this, this, or this. Would you help me pray about which door I should go through? And then sometimes God speaks through other people. Now, I told you that God has my address, but sometimes if I'm not listening, He has to go through somebody else. That's usually when God will speak through others for you, is sometimes we're not hearing. And He's been saying it to us, and we've been not hearing it, so He has to speak loudly to someone. I'm not a big one for giving prophecy. God, whenever God does that through me, He really has to push me. There was one time we were in Belvedere and had an altar call, and there was a whole bunch of people up front, and all of a sudden God told me this word for somebody, and I'm like, God, there is no way I'm going to say that. He's like, say it. And I just said, God just told me there's someone here. You're getting ready to make a major decision. And God says He's taking you away this week. And you'll be alone with Him, and you'll have peace and know what to do. And then I just shut up. At the end of the service, we had a businessman named Jim, and he came up to me. And he said, Pastor Keith, there's no way you could have known when you gave that word what's going on in my life. I'm making a major decision about my job. I'm going away out of state this week, and I've been praying for God to give me the answer. And he said, the minute you said that, I had this peace. And God spoke to my heart. You see, God can speak through other people to you. There have been times in my life when people have spoken to my life, and it was unbelievable. Matter of fact, Tom, you'll remember the other night when we were with Dave Foggerud. I brought this story up because when I was a young teenager, back when I was touring, back in the 70s, one of the places my band played was the Overflowing Cup in Beloit, Wisconsin. Back then, it was a big venue. There was hundreds of people that would come out to this for concerts and stuff, and it was a big place. And so that was one of the places I played, but I hadn't played there for a while. I'd been touring around the country, and I get a letter in the mail. The man's name, it's weird that I can remember this stuff, and I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. The man's name was Bill Breda, B-R-D-A, and he was like the guy that booked the talent for the Overflowing Cup. And I get this letter from him, and it said, Keith, I know it's been a long time since we talked. I want you to come and sing at the Cup. He said, but for some reason, God has been speaking to me about you the last few days, and there's this scripture that just keeps coming to my mind, and I can't get away from it. So I just want to give you this verse that God gave me, and if it means anything to you, that's good. If it don't, then maybe I was wrong, but let me know. Well, at the time, I had just been offered a position at a Church of God in Oak Brook, Illinois. I went there and did a concert, and it was a big church. I'll never forget it because as I was singing, this girl comes running down the aisle, and I thought she was going to kill me or something. And two ushers grabbed her up in the arms, and they're carrying her out of the service right in the middle of my song. You talk about a good way to ruin a song. And she said, I just wanted to give him a song. I just wanted to give him one of my songs. So I'll never forget that. But I remember feeling out of place when I was there because the entire staff, they had a big staff. They all sat on the stage and they all had three-piece suits on. And they just all looked like mutt right down the road, just alike, you know. And I thought, man, how am I going to fit in here? But then they showed me the house I was going to live in Oak Brook. Does anybody know what Oak Brook? That's kind of like pretty fancy. Woo, that was nice. At the same time, my pastor, my childhood friend, one of my best friends, Jerry Whitener, was starting a church in Meridian, Mississippi. And he's like, Keith, I really want you to come here and help me start this church, develop a youth group, and help with the music program. And I would really like you to come there. Okay, so you got to make a choice. It's between going living in a nice home in Oak Brook in this big church, or you're going to go down to where there's 15 people and start a new church and live in Meridian, Mississippi. That's a no-brainer, right? That's what I thought. Until I got that letter from Bill Breda. And this was the verse that he gave me. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle. The hair stood up on my arm when I read that. I'm like, how does he know I'm even thinking about making a decision like this? Haven't seen the guy in years. Whoa. All of a sudden, that still small voice spoke in my heart. And it says, you're supposed to go to Mississippi. You see, when I went to Mississippi, I only was there for 9 months. Enough to give birth to pain. But during that 9 months, I learned a lot about starting a church. I learned a lot about what it takes to get in there and how hard work it is and everything. God knew that June 10th, 1984, I would start what today is Grace Family Church. And He wanted to give me 9 months of incubation there, put me in so I would learn something. And see, sometimes we think, why this don't look like it's much of anything. God has a plan. He has a master plan. Had I gone to the other place and taken that position, it would have only confused me. It would have only sent me in the wrong direction. You with me? Fifth way that God speaks is through dreams and visions. Joel 2, verse 28, it will come to about after this. Says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I added verse 29. People never quote verse 29, but I thought last night, it's very important we realize it's on males and females. Right? When you guys go with me to Israel in just a few weeks now, it's not even 2 months away. When we go to Israel, you'll see that the women can't even go where the men go at the Wailing Wall. They have a separate side that they got to go to. But I want you to notice, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the male and female. Isn't that cool? Dreams and visions. And you're looking at that going, what is that Muslim doing up on the screen? Do you know that God is speaking to Muslims today? They're getting saved all over the world. My friend Tariq in Pakistan tells the story of how God spoke to this Muslim man, and he had this vision of Jesus and this donkey, and you have to be real careful over there when you minister to any Muslim, because if you say anything to a Muslim and try to convert them, you can be killed and go to prison. But this guy had a vision of Jesus. And he led him into a discipleship program, and he ended up giving his heart to the Lord. And in this is a website. I put it up there because I knew everybody's going to ask me about it. The website is called morethandreams.org. And they've actually put out a DVD documentary movie, and they tell the true story of five Muslims from five different countries, and each of them document their story of how Jesus appeared to them in dreams or visions and how they came to know Christ as their personal Savior. How cool is that? Come on! Christians, don't be so intimidated that you just write off Muslims. Because listen, God loves them just like He loves you. He just wants them to come through Jesus because they can't get to Him through Muhammad. I think that is so cool. Now I want you to imagine a life where you hear from God on a regular basis. If you're one of the ones sitting here today and you're saying, Pastor Keith, I just don't think I ever hear from God. You just haven't been listening for that right voice. Because He's speaking. He's speaking on a daily basis. I truly believe that. I truly believe on a daily basis you can hear from God, whether it's opening the pages of His Word or it's praying. And as you finish praying, let me tell you one thing that I like to do when I'm praying and when I'm reading the Scripture. I like to have a pad of paper and a pen handy. Because I believe when God speaks, this is the way it can happen. You pray and you ask God, then you need to listen. And as you listen, what you hear, just take a pen and start just writing it. Write it down. You'll be amazed at how many times you write something down and it's from God and He's speaking a direct word to you. You say, what if I write it down and it ain't God? Throw it in the fireplace. But I guarantee you, you'll have moments where you have goosebumps and you're like, whoa, God said that to me. See, I was studying the other day, and it was for last week's sermon for the Aaronic blessing, and I was just studying that, and all of a sudden I hear God saying, Keith, you're speaking the problem in regards to your hip, and you know, and it's hard because everybody's always asking, how am I feeling? How's your hip feeling? You know, and I don't want to lie, but God said, you've been speaking it too much. You know, you shouldn't be speaking the problem, speak the solution. And I said, Kathy, you know what? I need to thank God that my hip is healed by the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, irregardless of how I feel, it's healed. Are you with me? Somebody came up the other day and asked if they could pray for me, for my hip, and they prayed and said, how do you feel? I said, well, I don't go by my feelings. I go by what God's Word said. Are you with me? Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. This is what God said to the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house, who have ears, who have eyes to see, but do not see, ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. See, listen, today, the church in America, I think so many in the church in America today have eyes to see and ears to hear, but they're not hearing God and they're not seeing God because they're into religion. Let's throw our programs out the window. Let's listen for God. Let's say, God, breathe on us. God, speak to us. We desire to hear your voice. I love so many times. I sit at the piano at home, the beautiful piano that was a gift from God. Back in 1984, when we first started the church, I was at Faith Center Church, and Pastor Lyon just got a brand new Yamaha Grand, and I was playing a little piano that I toured with. It was in a suitcase, and it was 63 keys. It was so small. And we were downtown between a massage parlor and a tavern for the church at that time, and I thinking, God, Pastor Lyon don't even play the piano. Why did you give him this Yamaha Grand and all I have is my 63-note little mini piano? And then Pastor Lyon said, would you like to play it? I played it, you know, and it's like, boy, this is really nice. To be honest, there was probably a little bit of, what do you call it, greed, jealousy, kind of going, oh, I wish I had that and he had a better one. That's the way I always get greedy. I wish I had that and he had a better one. And I hear God speak to me. It's that, I can't tell you it was an audible voice, but I heard God speak to me. And he said, you've never asked me for a piano. And I thought, whoa. So as I'm pulling out of the church parking lot, I leave immediately and head to, because I'm like, I'm asking you now. So I go to Jackson's Piano Store, which used to be downtown. I don't know, they're not there anymore, but it was the classy place. I mean, they had Steinway, they had all the big, nice pianos, and I went in and I'm playing all these pianos, and man, it was just like I was like a kid in a candy store. And I finally find this piano that I like. It's a Young Chang. It's made in Korea. It's a real classical, bright sounding piano. And I'm playing the piano, and the salesman comes over and he says, hey, Reverend, we can put this on payments for you. He says, I can make this really easy, and we can deliver this next week if you'd like, and we can pay this out by the month. I said, oh, I said, actually, I really think God told me he's going to give it to me. He looked at me like Robin Williams in a nut house or something, and he's like, Dad, you just keep on playing. And he just walked away. He was done with me. I was no longer a good prospect. Sunday morning, we're in this little storefront attached to the pizza parlor there, And family walks in, the lady's got a mink coat on, you know, and boy, you talk about looking out of place when you're in a little storefront church with, you know. She's got a mink coat on, she walks in, sits down. After the service, they said, Pastor, would you and your wife like to come to our house for dinner? Usually, I'm exhausted after Sunday service, and I usually go home and take a nap. So my first thought was to say, thank you, but no thanks. Then I said, I had a check. And I said, yeah, we would be happy to. So we went to their home. We pull up, and the garage door raises, and I see these pump organs. She had a pump organ, one of those old-timey ones, and I had a friend in Mississippi that collected them. She had like 30-something in a house, a pump organ. So I said, can I play that? She said, sure. So I get on it, and I'm pumping it, you know. Probably couldn't do it now. I'm pumping it and playing it, you know, and huffing and getting out of breath. And then her husband says, you think that's neat? Wait till you see what's in our living room. I remember there was a staircase in their garage. We went up, it was a two-story. We went up into the living room from the garage. I turned the corner, and this is the honest-to-God truth. There sits my Young Chang Korean-made walnut-finished grand piano in their living room. You know what went through my mind? Rat piano now, wrong address. I must have looked like I saw a ghost. I don't know. I didn't say a word, didn't mention the story to them, nothing. The lady says to me, Pastor Keith, would you do us the honor and play our piano for us? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So I walk over and sit down and playing. And we have a nice lunch and go home. Next day, Monday, I'm doing my very first marriage counseling appointment in 1984. I'm going to marry this young couple. They're sitting in my office and the phone rings. I answer the phone. I hear, Pastor Manley, are you sitting down? I said, actually I am, but that's a rather strange way to begin a conversation. Can I help you? Well, this is so-and-so, and we were at your church yesterday and you came to our home. She said, last night the Lord woke me and my husband both up in the middle of the night and told us our piano belongs to you. Does that mean anything to you? I said, only that I picked it out on Friday at Jackson's Piano Store and you had the exact same piano in your living room when you asked me to sit down and play it. I told you, God has my picture on his refrigerator. Blew my mind that God loved me that much that even a thing like a piano, he would say, I want you to have that. You can't tell me that wasn't God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, I want to close with this. God says, incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Now, I believe God is speaking to several people right now, and it's through method number 4, which is other people. And at the same time, it's through method number 1, which is the Word of God. And God right now wants you to incline your ear, tilt your ear towards God. Posture yourself to hear from God. Set aside a part of your day, every day. Even if it's just 15 minutes. Give God that 15 minutes early in the morning or late at night. My wife's an early morning, so hers is always early in the morning. I'm a late nighter. Although, if 60 is the new 40, 9 o'clock is the new midnight for me. Set a daily appointment to hear from God where you open His Word. And I want you to try this week putting that pad of paper and a pen there. And as you pray and talk to God and you just stop and listen, I want you just to write down what you think God is saying back to you. Now, you know His Word. His Word's already in your heart. So just begin to write what God is saying to you. For example, with me, it was, stop speaking the problem, Keith, and speak the solution. Say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe it, and it will be done for you. Are you with me this morning? Stand to your feet as we close in prayer.